Scripture reading this evening is Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he.
Good evening, everyone. Happy to be back amongst you on this day of change, changing time, and everyone being a little bit off schedule. All the children were really, really hungry at lunchtime. And it's been a good day, and so it's good to see you all who are able to be here tonight. This evening, I want to give you my first slide on God and Jesus. We can only have both. Does that sound funny? God and Jesus, we can only have both. You can't have one without the other. You know the old commercial. You can't have one without the other. The old song. You can't have one without the other. There are people in the world who are atheists. And what is it that an atheist would believe? Coming from the root of the language, theist or theo is God. Theist is someone who follows God. A in front of it means not. They don't believe there is a God. And God calls them fool. In Psalm 14:1, and of course that's April Fool's Day, is just for them. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And so I just pulled out a few things that I saw in that very short passage. Their character is corrupt. Their purpose is to be stinkers, to do no good. Why do I use the word stinkers? I'll bet some of you know. Because the word abomination means to be giving off a terrible odor toward God. Something that God considers a stinking item, a stinking thinking, a stinking, rotten, terrible object. You know, and that's just the opposite of what we're to come to praise God with, amen? Because God likes a sweet-smelling savor. He likes his sacrifices, his burnt offerings. He likes that incense in the temple, in the tabernacle, you know? Isn't that right? And this is the opposite of what God wants. It's the opposite of what God likes. It's a terrible, stinking odor. Redolence is another word for that. They have committed abominable deeds. You notice whenever you find in the Bible the word abomination or abominable, it seems that no matter what covenant you're under, it never changes. That's always something God doesn't like. Can they really believe that there is no God? Or is there a motive behind their claim? I'm trying to make a point here. Is there a motive behind their claim? Because if people can construct in their mind a belief and convince themselves that there is no God, then anything goes, right? And I think that's what the motive is behind their belief. They can shut down God or try to, you know, callous him over so that they don't feel him or hear him or see him, and then they can just do whatever they want to do in their own minds. But do they really justifiably believe that there is no God? Paul says this, Romans 1, 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, in order to not believe in God, we would definitely have to suppress the truth, right? Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. I might even go as far as to say, had Adam and Eve never seen God in the garden, they still could have known God was there. You know, it says, from the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. No wonder Paul says that they are without excuse. They knew. They knew as a fact that there is a God. They professed to be wise, which is a choice they made themselves, and they became fools, which was a result of a choice that they made to ignore a fact. Romans 1:21 through 23, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. Futile, useless, futile in their speculations. Ideas of their own instead of ideas of God. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Well, you've all seen the small idols that would fit in one's pockets or the big idols that would be stood up on some hill. And all of them were just the creation of mankind. God told them on more than one occasion, when you build my altar, don't bring any tools with you to cut the stone. God didn't want them shaping the stones into shapes of things that might resemble something that they might worship. They knew, they professed, they became fools. Remember, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, ask yourself, what is the therefore, therefore? And go back and think about what was just said. They knew, they professed to be wise, and turning away from God, they became fools, atheists, so to speak. Romans 1:24 through 25, therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The creatures are great. They really are. We have an amazing, wonderful array of creatures on this earth. Every one of them is interesting in its own way. But not a single one of them is God. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. For this reason. Here you go. That's kind of like a therefore that leads on. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. These kind of errors have penalties. These kind of errors with penalties come from the mind and the speculations of human beings, not from Creator God. He didn't create us to be that way or do those things. Even today, people should not claim to have been born in such a way that leads them into a certain kind of sexual sin. Sin is sin, and sin is a choice, and we all have our choices to make. Hence the fruits of their atheism. What is the fruits of atheistic thinking? What are those fruits? And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Once you have a depraved mind, anything can happen, right? A depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. In all of this, see, they understood that there was a God, but they decided to have a wisdom of their own. They decided in their wisdom of their own that they would reject God, and so God says they became fools. Therefore, God turned them over to all of these things, and this is the fruit of atheism. They know, they do, and they rally. By that, when I say they rally, what I mean is that they want others to join them, and they're happy when others do. They are the walking dead, and I get this straight from Jorge's lesson. If you don't mind me stealing a piece of it, I thought that was so good about the walking dead and so timely because of all the crazy things on people's minds at the end of October. The walking dead, people who are separate from Christ, people who are dead in their sins, and people who are cheering others on to join them, you know? Romans 1:32, and although they know the ordinance of God. Now, if they know the ordinance of God, they must know there is a God, but yet they claim to be atheists. That's interesting. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The walking dead, cheering others on. Or what do you think Jesus meant by the dead to bury their own dead? And I was wondering if Jorge was going to go there in his message. I thought, he's going to talk about let the dead bury their dead. And it kept coming across my mind. I remember what Jesus said. A scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." Jesus said scary things too, amen. He's talking about this man's family, amen. Let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me. So, Jesus identified this man's family as dead. They were alive, but he identified them as dead. Because those who were still living, if one of them had died, would bury that dead person, and they were all dead anyway. Some of the interpreters will say that maybe this man's father wasn't even sick, but that he wanted to hang around home, you know, as a responsibility, as a son, to be there and be ready to bury his father when his father did die. Either way, he's disobeying the command of Christ if he doesn't just drop everything and go. Jesus said, let that stuff go. Let those dead bury their dead. I know we all have people in our family that we want to have them come to Christ, you know, and we've worked with them for years and hoped and prayed, and, you know, some of them will and some of them won't. We have to just understand that it's our job, number one, foremost and first, to seek the kingdom of God and follow Jesus. And then there are those who are agnostic. They are one notch above the fool who doesn't believe in God, and one notch below the double-minded. See if you see what I mean. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here he is. This man is not an atheist. This man is not an agnostic. He believes there is a God. An agnostic claims that they can't be sure if there is a God. They're looking for more evidence. An atheist says, oh, there isn't a God. But this double-minded guy, he's a notch above them in a sense. But yet he still gets nothing from God. You see? You've got the atheist on the bottom, then comes the agnostic, and then the double-minded man who still receives nothing from God. If he receives nothing from God, what will the atheist and the agnostic get? Nothing, 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 nothing. You know what I'm saying? So he's one notch below one who ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. An agnostic is one notch below the one who really doesn't trust God but believes in him. The Jewish and Mohammedist religions claim belief in God, but not in Jesus as God's Son. The Jesus-only church believes that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, but only one. They say Jesus operates in three different modes. One mode is God, another mode is Jesus, and in a third mode as the Holy Spirit. They're trying to say that he can't be two or three of those things at once. He can only be one of those things. So he has to switch modes to be the Father and switch to another mode to be the Son and switch to another mode to be the Holy Spirit. Of course, this is contrary to many scriptures. Here are a couple. Matthew 3:16-17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here you see a three-tiered situation where you've got Jesus, who has just been submerged in the water, comes up out of the water, and you've got the Spirit of God descending in bodily form as a dove, and you've got a voice from heaven speaking. So you have these three levels. You've got the earth, the sky, and the heavens, and they're all there at one time. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In another situation, you have Jesus. He took them up on a high mountain, and he was transfigured before them. Matthew 17, 1 through 5, 6 days later, not 6 days later from what we just read, but 6 days later from what had happened previously in Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Kind of like that poor picture that I had up there this morning that nobody could tell what it was. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So again, we could go on and talk about Mary, how her only advice she ever gave anybody was to do what Jesus said in John chapter 2. And here we have the Father of Jesus, God, saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." We'd ought to take their advice. But here again, we have Jesus in one spot and the Father speaking from another. The great friend and apostle of Jesus says plainly, you have to have the Son or you cannot have the Father. 1 John 2:22 through 23, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. We can't take Jesus without God, and we can't have God without Jesus. The two go together. Someone was asking me, well, somebody would say, well, God teaches this or Jesus teaches that. But there's really no difference because everything that Jesus taught came from God. And everything that God says, Jesus is in total agreement with. And everything that Jesus says, God is in total agreement with. Jesus says of himself, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me," John 14:6. Peter says, "And there is salvation in no one else," speaking of Jesus, of course, "for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved," Acts 4:12. Paul, speaking of Jesus and a judgment day coming, he says, "Because he has fixed a day," God has fixed a day, "in which he will judge the world in righteousness, through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." I've heard people say Jesus isn't the judge. He said himself that he didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Well, that's what he came for the first time. But the second time around, he's coming as a judge. We better listen to what he says. To those who say there are many, many gods, polytheist, God says, "See now that I am he. And there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand." Whenever we think that we can defeat God, we better think again. Whenever we think that on some terrible day the devil might win over God, forget it. It isn't ever going to happen. The devil can't beat him. There's no other power in the universe that can beat him. God rules supreme. "See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand." To those who say there are other gods, God says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation." So God's offering a challenge to anyone who might say that they themselves are God, to anyone who might say that they themselves created themselves or anything else that didn't come from God's hand. Everything on this earth that we make and we claim to have invented is made from parts that came from God's hand. "And let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place." Can anyone here tell the future the way God can? Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. God knows everything. He says there's none. And if we're going to be like God and follow God, then we ought to know that too. There is one God and one Son of God and one Spirit shared by them. There is one body and one Spirit. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you believe the Bible, then you understand that there is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Spirit. There is a church over which Jesus is head, and God is the Father of all. If you really have one, you also have the other. Now, some people claim to have God, but if they don't have Jesus, they don't have God. Some people claim to have Jesus, but if they don't have God, they don't have Jesus. If you really have one, you also have the other. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Jesus claimed to be all wrapped up in the Father, and the Father's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. They're together. They are as one, but two individuals. And there are two on the throne in heaven. There's room there for a Father and a Son sitting at the right hand of God on high. Revelation 22:1-3, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now compare that to the kind of fruit that an atheist bears. Go back to those things in your mind that he said, well, you know, this is how they do, this is what they do, all of those terrible things. But what kind of fruit does God bear? Look at this. For the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have the need of a light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. So there's no end to that. John was talking about heaven, talking about the days in heaven. And I said, John, it's just going to be one big day that never ends, you know, one day that just lasts forever. They will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Of course, that was a mistake, right? The angel said, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. If we are in Jesus Christ, we're fellow servants with angels. Amen. And our job is to worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. For the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Now, if the book ended there, then we would say, well, everybody do your own thing. Eat, drink, and merry. Be merry, because tomorrow we die, and whoever was good, and whoever wasn't good was bad, and that's it. But yet, he still offers an opportunity. Here at the very end of the book, he says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. So there at the end of the book, talking about liars, people who are atheists and agnostics are ignoring God. They are people who have turned away from God. They are people who have hidden their face from God. They are people who have tried to invent other gods. They are people who deny that God even exists, although all the evidence points them another direction. And God says, hey, you won't be in heaven with me. Take one more chance to hear me say, wash your robes, turn around before it's eternally too late. God does this because he loves us. He gives that kind of a final warning there in the book of Revelation. Turn it around is what he's saying. Turn it around and follow him. There is one God. There is one Jesus. There are two on the throne in heaven. There is one Spirit. There is one baptism. There is one appeal. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So much said in that one verse. As Paul said in Acts chapter 17, that God will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having given proof to all mankind by raising him from the dead. Just like the scripture says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is because he has risen from the dead that we know he is the Son of God. It is because he has risen from the dead that we know he can raise us from the dead. Jesus is authentic. He offers us the opportunity to follow him. If you've not been baptized into Christ, now is the best time to do it. As soon as you understand that you need to do it, is the best time to do it. If you feel like you're kind of like the double-minded man, well, you're a notch above the agnostic and two notches above the atheist, and you'll still receive nothing from God. We need to be sure we get our hearts and our minds right to follow Jesus every day. If there's anything we can do to help you, let us know as we stand and as we sing.